I appreciate the song that Chris led, because that last one fits the title of the lesson this morning concerning perseverance. And we are to be strong and courageous, because Satan is ever about us. I'm convinced he spends 90%+ of his time in the church, because Acts 2, verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. And so if you're Satan and he knows he's going to hell, from Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 41, he knows his destiny. He knows that the angels are, that he can never repent. And so if you were Satan and you knew you were lost, where would you spend your time? He has the world. He would spend his time mostly in the church. So let's look a few moments concerning, as we study and continue our study of 2 Peter chapter 1, and it's recorded for us, and for these eight graces that I call graces that God has given to us, because if we add these to our lives, certainly we will grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, as Peter mentions in chapter 3 and verse 18. But beginning in verse 5, Peter says to these pilgrims, I think, of the dispersion of chapter 1, of verse 1 of 1 Peter, because he writes a second letter to them in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. And so he's writing to the same people that he wrote in first letter. So he says to these people, he says, but also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. This is the New King James Version. So God expects us to add. He doesn't expect us to leave off one when we go to the next. He said add. It's a building block. It helps us in our lives. Because Peter continues and he says, for in verse 8, for if these things are yours and they abound, that means they get bigger, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. So how can we add perseverance to our self-control, which was the last one we studied yesterday morning? And so how can we do this? Well, we need to attain perseverance first. Let's look at a few thoughts concerning perseverance. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul persevered. He kept the faith till the end. And that's what perseverance is. It's being steadfastness, according to Webster's Dictionary. It's the action or condition of perseverance. Perseverance is patience. It is keeping on keeping on. Jesus told the church at Smyrna in Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful till death. That's perseverance. Be thou faithful to death. And then Jesus said, I'll give you the crown of life. The crown of life is on the other side. But we have to persevere here to attain that crown of life. Will it be easy? Well, in the first letter that Peter wrote to these saints in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, he says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. In the matter of what? Of suffering. You see, a lot of people quit the Lord when suffering comes upon them. And God, we're not to do those kind of things. Are these assemblies important? Absolutely. How can they be important? Can't I worship God? Isn't worship, as a guy and I was speaking yesterday, worship is vertical. When you're here this morning and you're partaking of the Lord's Supper, we're in fellowship one with the other. But we're worshiping, we're focusing upon God. What about horizontal? That's what these assemblies are for. We can edify. We can encourage. You are such an encouragement to me for you even being here. That's edification. And the Hebrew writer says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. As a matter of some, there were some that were not assembling as they should be. And he said, don't do this. We can edify, we can encourage each other, we can exhort each other. And so God wants us to do that. That helps us persevere when trials come upon us. Perseverance is not a given. Perseverance, you have to learn how to do it. You have to go through trials. And look with me in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, is James is writing to who? He's writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered. Well, why do you think they may have been scattered? Do you think it was probably because of persecution? Well, we know in Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 8, Paul, even Saul at that time, brought havoc upon the church. And many of them scattered. And I don't think they put their houses up in real estate before they left town. They left. It seems maybe even in a hurry. But they went everywhere preaching the gospel. They persevered even in the face of trials and tribulation. James said in James 1 and verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into these various trials." You may have a trial in your life that's different from, it may be a various trial. It may be different than the trial that I encounter. But be it known that we are all going to fall into trials in life. How do we handle those trials? Can we persevere? We can. Will we persevere? I pray to God we will. In fact, I've asked God even in prayer to let me die first before I fall away, if indeed I was to fall away. And you say, well, you'll never fall away. Demas did, didn't he? It can happen. And then even in Colossians chapter 4, Demas was with Paul at the first Roman imprisonment. But at the end, in 2 Timothy 4, he fell away. Can it happen to us? Yes. So we must persevere. We must persevere. So persevere is not a given. It's something we have to learn. We have to practice. We must understand that we will suffer. You notice in Hebrews 5 and verse 8, although Jesus, he was the Son of God, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. He experienced suffering. I thank God that he stayed on the cross. He persevered all the way to the end. And James said, we need to, in verse chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3 of James 1, we need to count it all joy when we fall into these various trials. And you look at that word joy, and joy, I think of joy is something more mature and deeper than happiness. Happiness is based on what is happening right now. There's times I coached football for 17 years, and when we would win a ball game, Larry, we were happy. But when we would lose a game, we were sad. But as you look back over the teaching tenure of your life, as Larry and I have, there were some joyous times. See, joy is more mature. Joy is longer lasting than happiness. If you will, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, New King James Version, we're to look to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And I looked at that and I pondered on it within my mind. How could it be joyous to go to the cross? Well, a couple of reasons for sure. We know it pleased the Father for Jesus to go to the cross. And also, Jesus knew what the results of the cross would be for us. Wouldn't that bring joy to him? Absolutely. Was he in the glories of heaven in John 17 and verse 5? Yes. As he prayed right before his crucifixion, he said to the Father, he said, "Glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was." So Jesus was in the glories of heaven before this earth was ever created. In fact, he's the one that created it. Colossians 1 and verse 16. So he knew. And thank God that he persevered all the way to the death of the cross. Without that, we'd have no hope. We learn from sufferings. We learn. We learn from trials in life. We learn how to persevere. You know, we use the adage of winners never quit and quitters never win. And that's true with us in Christianity. Well, who helps us win in this life? Jesus. Didn't the writer say in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, He will never leave us nor forsake us? Boy, times get tough. And you may be suffering something in your life that I'm not even aware about. Each one of us have different trials and suffering. But we can make it. We can persevere. We can persevere. If you will, look with me. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I think of this. In fact, one time I did a lesson. Concerning, I'll just use the New American Standard in this, concerning those of faith. But notice, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and let's go to verse 35, and I want to get down to about the middle part of that verse. And I did a lesson of the no name of the Old Testament, those of faith. They're not even named. But notice what God says. God knows them, and God knows you. You see, my name is not in this book here as far as in ink, but it's in the book of life. And that's the one that matters. And here we're going to read about some of these brethren of the Old Testament. When I call them brethren, those believers. And notice what we have compared to what they had. Let's go on. About the middle of verse 35 of Hebrews 11, the New American Standard Version. And he names those prior to that. He names them, you know, who I'm talking about, different ones of the Old Testament that are familiar with us. Their names are literally written out. But he gets down to verse 35. And then he said there were others who were tortured. Did they persevere? Well, let's look on. Not accepting their release so they might obtain a better resurrection. They didn't give up the faith. They persevered. Why? So they could receive a better resurrection. Now notice in verse 36. And others experienced mocking and scourging. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. Now this is not brethren in the New Testament. These are from the Old Testament. Notice as he continues in verse 37. They were stoned. They were sown in two. And as I understand that, they were sown in two as they were alive. They didn't kill them and then cut them in through. What would that accomplish? They were sown in two. It says, and they were tempted, and they were put to death with a sword. And they went about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy. They were wandering in deserts and in mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. I've never seen any brethren in the United States do this. And notice it says in verse 39, and all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. We've been on this side of the resurrection. They lived on the other side of the resurrection. Because God had provided something better for us, the Hebrew writer says, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. They didn't get to see that we live on this side of the resurrection. They went through this looking forward to a better resurrection, but they did not live on this side of the life of Christ. They lived over there. But the promise was made to Abraham and to all of his offspring. Look what we have. And these, they persevered, not seeing this side of the resurrection. They believe by faith. We've actually been on this side of Jesus' resurrection. We are living today. And so we have God's word. And so notice how much we are blessed. Well, as we were mentioned, you got to attain perseverance. You got to attain. Notice David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 through 47, the New American Standard, King David. Then David said to the Philistine giant, Goliath, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head. In verse 47, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands, he says in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And you know, David, he understood what bravery was. as he continues on. You know, David, he, notice how he did. He took on the giant. And so if you go to 1 Samuel 17, he took him on, he had courage, he persevered. This is interesting to me. I pondered a little bit. I said, why did David pick up five smooth stones? Was that a lack of faith? No. How many did it take to kill the giant? One. Now, if you will, look with me in 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 22. Goliath had four sons. Goliath had four sons. It may very well be that David thought, I got to take them out too. Look with me in 2 Samuel 21. In 2 Samuel 21, and verse 22. Well, let's just go up and look a little bit above that. Now it came in verse 18. Now it came after, about after that, the wars again with the Philistines at Gob, and then he goes on and he names here, he says in verse 18, the descendants of the giant. He goes on down, and there's two, and he goes on down and he gets down to verse 20, and he says, there was war at Gath again, and where there was a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in a number, and he also had been born to who? The giant. Then he goes on and he continues on. He says in verse 22, these four were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Now, David didn't kill them all, but either through David or his servants he did. Very well could be. That's why he chose five stones. He may have thought he had to take them out too. And he knew he could do it with the help of the Lord. We can do it too. The need to attain perseverance. We know in Titus 1 and verse 2 that God doesn't lie. And he said we can do it and we can make it. Paul said in his last letter as he wrote to his son of the faith, Timothy, and he said in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, he said, I know in whom I believe. And he said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him. That's perseverance unto that day. So we can do it. And God tells us we can do it. And we can persevere. Well, what is something needed to persevere? Strong faith. Strong faith. Well, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In John 1 and verse 18, no man has ever seen God. So we must walk by faith. And we must persevere. Because the world mocks us. The world tells us that what we're doing is this foolishness. But we know that it's not. We have to have a strong faith. Because I tell you, we're going to be tried. Our faith will be tested. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 4, in regard to these, talking about the lusts of the world, the world, they'll think it strange that you don't run with them. Your faith is going to be tested. Jesus is able to help us persevere. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, God does it, that no temptation will overtake us that we're not able to encounter and to persevere. In Hebrews 2 and verse 18, for since he, Jesus, was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of us that are tempted. In Hebrews 2:18. It's not just good enough, though, to attain perseverance. You got to maintain it. You got to keep on keeping on. You got to sustain your block. That's what we teach them in football. You got to sustain your block. You got to stay. And you say, well, what about that guy over there? He didn't stay. Who can you control? Just yourself. Even this brother over here doesn't sustain his perseverance. Does that discourage us? Yes. But can we sustain ours? Yes. Yes, we can keep on keeping on. It has to be not only attained, but maintained. It's not just good enough to attain it. You got to take it all the way to the grave. Because look with me in 2 Peter chapter 2. And you know this, once saved, always saved. That's a false doctrine. That's a false doctrine. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. For if after, this is New King James Version, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, that means they become Christians. They've escaped the pollutions of the world. How? Through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled in them. In what? In the pollutions of the world. And it says, and the worse for them, the latter is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A proverb is a short saying that conveys a truth. Now this is a true proverb. A dog returns to its own vomit. And it says, and a sow, that's a pig, a hog, having washed to her watering in the mire. I lived on a farm. I've literally witnessed a dog returning to its own vomit. It's sickening. And I've actually took a water hose and washed off. We had hogs that we'd kill for our meat and wash them off with a hose, and it wouldn't be hardly any time till they was wallowing in the mire. And you know, God used the word mire, M-I-R-E. That's not just water and mud. It's waste. So you know what God is telling us? This is his graphics. He's saying sin is sickening and sin stinks. Because that's what is conveyed here. That's to those who do not persevere. Turn with me to Hebrews 6. We need to be careful, because we have the Word of God, and it's once for all been delivered. Jude verse 3. And notice in Hebrews 6, verse 4. If we do not persevere, the writer says, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. He's writing to Hebrew Jews who have become Christians. That's who he's writing to. He's not writing to Grecian Jews. He's writing to Hebrew Jews who have become Christians. And most likely many of them lived in and around Jerusalem. And don't you know, if they lived around Jerusalem, they could walk down the street and see the magnificent temple of John chapter 2, where Herod had worked for 46 years. Where the Jews felt that God dwelt there and lived there. And now then, those Hebrew Jews were taught by the gospel of Jesus Christ that our temple, the temple now, is our bodies. And not that building that they could see, that they had hundreds and hundreds of years. Can you see where they could have struggled with perseverance? Now notice in verse 4, but the writer said, now it's impossible for those who are once enlightened, that means learned and obeyed the gospel and became Christian, and have tasted the heavenly gift and have partakers of the Holy Spirit. All three of them are pertaining to the same thing. They were Christians. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. And in verse 6, if they fall away, so it's possible to fall away, to renew them again to repentance. The writer is saying, we only have the one gospel. If you've been enlightened by that, and someone comes to you and you've quit the Lord, all they can do is bring to the same gospel that you already know and you already obey. They're not going to bring to you a different gospel, because we don't have a different gospel. We have the one. So how are we going to enlighten them? You see, we can do it. I quit the Lord 8 years. I came back. But it wasn't because of a different gospel. It's impossible, because there's not a different gospel. We have the one. But I knew what it taught. And I knew I needed to do that. A Christian must have self-control. You remember we studied that the other night. And self-control to have perseverance. Or yesterday morning. You have to have self-control to persevere. You have to control yourself to persevere, because no one else can control you. God commands, he doesn't demand. He commands with, C-O-N, C-O-M. If you want to be with God, you obey His commandments. It takes with it the thought of love. We can obey because of love. It is possible that we can lose our perseverance. You know, Peter, he did. We have an example. Peter in Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75, he denied the Lord three times. He didn't persevere in that circumstance. But he repented, didn't he? I didn't persevere for 8 years, but I repented. And God welcomed you back just like He did the prodigal son. He came back. Well, how do we maintain? Well, we need to understand that Satan uses man to help us to fall. He uses other, and oftentimes religious leaders that lead us astray. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, you know, Jesus is teaching there, and He mentions there in Matthew chapter 15, in verses 8 through 9, Jesus said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine," teaching as teachings or rules, "the commandments of men." You see, Jesus built one church. It was His church. But what does man want to do? Well, let's build us one. You know, I've been in England, and the last castle I went to, Dinah and I would have a 10-hour layover on our way to South Africa. And so instead of, you mess yourself up really with your body watch if you go to sleep. I was just thinking before we got up here today, we're 2 hours behind our home time. England, they're 6 hours behind us, ahead of us. So do you know on the first day of the week, God is worshipped every hour somewhere on earth for the 24 hours? We're worshiping after the group back home is already through. But you notice Jesus said, these people, they teach His doctrines and commandments of men. They didn't persevere. Because we all have the same gospel, we need to maintain it. Now, let's look in Hebrews chapter 12. These assemblies, I tell you what, I promise you, each and every time that I've been with you this week, when I leave this building, I'm more encouraged. I feel better within myself than when I got here. Because that's what happens when you're together with your brethren. And notice what the writer says in Hebrews 12. I'm going to use the New King James Version. He says in verse 12, he said, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." He's talking about spiritually. Strengthen those hands that hang down spiritually. Your hands may be hanging down spiritually. It may be a word from a brother or sister here, and you haven't even told them some of the trials in your life. And they may use a word of encouragement to you, and they may strengthen your hands as they hang down spiritually. And you know, that's why it's so important for the assemblies, because it may just very well be you're at the point where you are no longer persevering. So strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. I was thinking of the Oregon Trail. We went to that museum of the Oregon Trail where they have the wagons that made the journey, and we read some of the diaries that families had donated to the museum, the diaries that were written. And I was reading one where this baby fell off the wagon and the wheel ran over it. Killed the baby instantly. And the wagon master, he gave them 2 hours to have a funeral. It was in the diary. 2 hours. Don't you think those families' hands needed to be strengthened? And what would happen, it said they wrapped the baby in a blanket and buried it between the tracks of the wagons. And their thought was that maybe the wild animals would smell the wagons and leave the baby alone. But we can strengthen each other's spiritually if our hands are hanging down. Don't you know those people, have you been so tired that you just can't even hardly lift your hands? I'm talking about physically. Can it happen to us spiritually? Yeah. Can our knees be wobbly spiritually? Feeble? Yes. So the writer says, you need to strengthen each other's hands. We got to maintain our perseverance. Paul said in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, I hadn't reached it yet, and none of us have yet. But one thing I do, Paul said, I forget the things which are behind, and I reach towards those things ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. In my office, I went ahead and got this little thing years ago, and I've got it up in the window where I can just look at it, and it says, I press. Because I want to persevere. I press towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press. What about Demas? He didn't persevere, did he? Can we love this present world? It's possible. We can. And notice what it says, as we mentioned earlier, in Colossians chapter 4. And I know this is familiar to most all of you, but in Colossians chapter 4, as Paul was in a Roman prison on a 2-year imprisonment and a house arrest, and he mentions in verse 14, he said, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greets you. He was writing to the church at Colossae. So he was with Paul during that 2-year imprisonment. But now, if you will, turn with it to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, what happened to Demas? Well, in chapter 4, in verse 10, Paul said, For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. He must have seen something at Thessalonica that intrigued him. And you know, it probably rolled over and over in his mind. And Paul said, he's left me. He didn't persevere with Paul like he did in the first imprisonment. But Paul maintained his perseverance. What do you think? Will hell be worse for those who do not maintain it? Oh, they've attained it. They've attained and they understand the gospel and they've obeyed it. Can you imagine being in hell with those of us today that are in this audience? Knowing what you know according to the book and you do not persevere? It's like the rich man who lifted up his eyes in torment. What do you think about us? Won't that roll over and over in our mind? Eternal. I cannot even comprehend eternity. Because everything on this earth has a beginning and an ending. But it never ends. What about us? Mentally. If we do not maintain our perseverance, it'll be worse for us. Proverbs 23:23, Solomon said, Buy the truth and do not sell it. No matter what, don't let it go. Persevere. He says in 2 Peter 3:14, We need to be found by Him, by Jesus, in peace. Peter says this, without spot and blameless. We need to be found. We need to persevere. We need to be found by Jesus in peace, without spot and blameless. We need to do those things. You know, we're taught the parable Jesus does of the souls. Think about the good soul. That's perseverance. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, But the ones that fell, the seed that fell on good ground, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus, God's word, are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, they keep it and bear fruit with patience. They persevere. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, he said, Be steadfast, immovable, that's perseverance, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And lastly, we need to help others persevere. Help them. Teach others. Teach others that we can do it. Teach others that we can keep on keeping on. In Galatians chapter 2, it teaches that we can help bear one another's burden. That's helping them persevere. Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Jesus helped Paul persevere. this morning, Stephanie and I was talking in Acts 18, verse 9, for example. Paul was being discouraged at Corinth. And what happened? Jesus appeared to him in the night by vision. And he said to him, "Do not be afraid, Paul, but speak. And do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." He was encouraging Paul to persevere. And he will help us persevere. He teaches us in the Hebrew writer, in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "I'll never forsake you nor leave you." He will help us. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he will never allow temptation to overtake us. But let's turn to Mark chapter 6. You know the story here. It's also recorded for us in Matthew chapter 14, 24 and 25. Let's look in Mark chapter 6. This is where Jesus, he fed the 5,000. And he used these opportunities of a miracle to teach the truth. So he fed the 5,000. And notice as you look over in the latter part of that letter, verse 33 begins talking about the feeding of the 5,000. And then he gets over on verse 45 again. It talks about him walking on the water. But let's go on. He sends the crowd away. Now it's becoming night. So what does it say? Well, Jesus went up the mountain to pray. Verse 46. But what did he do with the apostles? Well, in verse 47, he sent them away. He bid them farewell in verse 46, and he left for the mountain to pray. And when it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea. And he was alone. Jesus was alone on the land. But he saw them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them at about what? The fourth watch. Well, he sent them off on the first watch. And I got to pondering about that. He's up in the mountain praying, and he could see them. Why did he wait to the fourth watch to walk on water? You know, there's times that the Lord lets us go through trials because we may not just really believe as much as we need to believe. Let's look at what happened with the apostles. And these are apostles. And notice what he says. Well, it says in verse 48, "Seeing them, Jesus saw the apostles straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. At about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. But when they saw Jesus walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid.'" In verse 51, "And then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident." Now, what incident? The feeding of the 5,000, and plus of what they'd been doing rowing on the water. It's talking about the incident of the loaves, the feeding of the 5,000. Why? Because their heart was hardened. So the Lord let them row to the fourth watch. Don't you think as time went on and Jesus had ascended into heaven, they thought about this incident? You know, you said, "Well, Lord, why didn't you come to them on the first watch? You could see them." He let them do it to the fourth. Sometimes, you know, in Romans chapter 8, how we can help others to persevere. All things work together for good, those that love the Lord. Well, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be rosy. Wasn't Paul and Silas in Roman in Philippian jail singing a hymn? You know, if they hadn't been put into that Philippian jail, would they have been able to have taught the Philippian jailer? "All things work together for good, those that love the Lord." They went about doing good no matter what their circumstance because they were persevering. If you're here this morning, we're not having an invitation song, but if you need and you don't want to wait till the next hour and you need the prayers of the saints, we have a privilege and opportunity to do so. If you need to obey the gospel, you can do it. You can do it. And they will help you, and the brethren here will help you persevere. in that endeavor, because it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it.